1.
There it is, Regan,
my father says, pointing to a mountain range made out of great heaps of soot.
The way out of illusion is hidden in those hills.
The wind blows a funnel of dust in front of us. Patches of fog linger in the air, creating shapes that appear and vanish like ghosts. The sky here is forever dark and cloudless, with hints of light coming from a moon that never seems to appear. Still, I can see a glow of determination in my dad's pale eyes as he examines the area around us, like he's about to lead a charge across a battlefield. And he is, in a sense. There are 15 people trapped inside this dismal virtual world, trying to get back home. But right now, it's just the two of us, and when I look at him, I'm grateful he's alive. For months, I thought he had burned to death in a hypersaur crash over the fluoropetro-clogged skies of Detroit. But all this time, his mind has been locked inside the program he created, his body hidden in the corporate offices of its manufacturer. It's weird, I say, looking at the steep mounds of ash that seem to move back and forth with a blink of an eye. Sometimes the hills look like they're right in front of us, other times far away.
Yes, it's hard to trust what you see,
my dad says. He stares at the rocky path, which looks like jagged granite. The desolate, charred landscape of Etherworld is so different from the beauty of illusion, which my dad designed so people could escape our polluted, overcrowded world and experience nature. With just an app, earbuds, a visor, and a wristband, illusion provided an escape from the drudgery of everyday life.
I just want to get everyone home before anyone gets seriously hurt,
he says. I think back to the first time he took me to Illusion, how we jumped off a cliff and soared through the fresh, clean air on hang gliders, the sun sparkling above, the river below us. He told me that nothing could ever harm me inside Illusion, but he was wrong. Illusion can cause addiction, hallucinations, and maybe even death. But I can't bring myself to tell him about the worst of it yet. A part of me doesn't want to spoil the feeling of relief I felt since I found out he was alive. So instead, I say, I know. My dad wants us all to be safe, and we are, at least temporarily. Etherworld, a virtual dimension located behind the firewalls of my father's illusion domain, offer such low stimuli that our minds are preserved in a suspended state with zero brain activity. That's why colors look so faded here. Although I can still see a hint of brown in my dad's hair, his eyes are translucent, void of any pigment. Another gust of wind whips around us, and I shield my eyes from the silver particles floating on the breeze like radioactive snow.
Maybe we should have stayed at camp and given you a chance to get acclimated,
he says. I'm fine, I say, a little embarrassed. Ever since I arrived, I've been overcome with body aches, chills, and fatigue. It feels like I've been sleeping for days. How long have I been here?
I wish I knew,
he says, gazing up at the dark sky.
There's no way to keep track of the time. I guess I should have designed a sun.
Or moon, I say. He flashes a tired smile and hesitates as if there's something else he wants to say. After a moment, he turns back toward the path and says,
Are you sure you're feeling up to this?
Yes, I want to help, I say. Everyone else is out working at some place my father calls the mines, preparing to carry out an escape plan that he hasn't told me much about. While we've had some nice moments together as he's nursed me back to health, he hasn't really explained what his strategy is, probably because he doesn't want to overwhelm me. But I can be here for him if he'll just let me.
You're still recovering from those Delta Wave episodes,
he says.
I don't want to push you.
I'm okay. Promise. You don't have to worry.
It's my job,
he says.
I started worrying the day you were born.
I can take care of myself. I managed to figure out all those signs of yours and find you here, didn't I? My dad gives me a look, like this is the last thing he wants to talk about.
I've never doubted how strong you are,
he says softly. I grin at him.
The mines are just across that bridge,
he says, motioning toward a wooden plank in the distance. From here, it looks at least 100 feet long. We walk another 50 yards or so, and the bridge is there, in front of us.
Be careful crossing,
my dad warns. When he sees me sigh, he says,
I have a right to worry. There are deep cracks in the surface.
He's right. The bridge isn't very wide and doesn't have any railings. It sways with the wind, as if it might break free from the side of the hill. At least the fog makes it impossible to see how far we'd fall. I hold my breath as my dad makes his way across, his arms stretched on either side of him for balance, like he's walking a trapeze wire. Only when he's safe on the other side do I step onto the bridge, my arms stretched out beside me. The bridge shifts under my weight and I freeze, staying motionless until it stills. I take one step, and then another, and before I know it, I've made it to the other side.